Blog Talk Radio.
Conducted music in Berlin with the Berlin Philharmonic and with the
Concertgebouw, and he was known for his arrangements. And him and Toscanini would fight about literalism and interpretation. But here we have a rare excerpt from our archives of Mengelberg playing. He plays for the Nazis during the occupation of Halle. Now, the Dutch were so angry, the very placid Dutch were usually very tolerant. After World War II, they stripped him of his conductorship, and he was very bitter, and he died, I think, in 1949 in Holland, where I think, his family was originally German. Anyway, he it was not only him, but it's also Wilhelm Furtwängler, his contemporary, also has a problem with denazification. We'll get into Furtwängler another day because he was offered, and then it was rejoined, he was offered the conductorship of the Chicago Symphony, but the American Jews were so upset because he had stayed in Nazi Germany and also played for Hitler, and they weren't having it. Anyway, here's Mengelberg. Overtures, Russian music piece by Peter Ilyich Tchaikovsky, and of course the Nazis were bogged down in Russia in Operation Barbarossa, so I don't know how this got recorded at that time, but it was. Mengelberg did his last recording, ironically, in Paris, playing the Dvorak cello concerto, I believe it was, and of course that was, Dvorak was Czech, and the Nazis had over. Czechoslovakia. Some strange things happened with music during World War II. Now, another great musician, one of the greatest piano teachers of all time, is Russian-Jewish, and her husband, Joseph Levine, was also a great pianist. Rosina Levine, she taught many of the great pianists we have heard and recorded. For instance, was James Levine, who was conductor of the Boston Symphony, Metropolitan Opera. Also a great pianist who studied with George Zell. We had Van Cliburn, who won the Moscow piano competition and helped throw out the Cold War. Van Cliburn recently died. Van Cliburn was gay, but he kept his private life private. And many of the great pianists have studied with Rosina Levine, who lived in New York. Great piano teacher. Among the other birthdays today, we had Nelson Algren, who wrote Man with the Golden Arm, which is about Chicago and heroin, I think Frank Sinatra starred in that movie. We had Edmund Muskie, who ran for vice presidential candidate in the McGovern campaign, and he went to New Hampshire after the publisher of the New Hampshire Leader, the principal paper in New Hampshire, had attacked Muskie and his wife. And here's that little clip when Muskie shows up on the steps of the newspaper, and he attacks, and he cries while he's attacking the publisher of the paper.
By attacking me, by attacking my wife, he has proved himself to be a gutless coward. Maybe I said all I should on that point. It's fortunate for him he's not on this platform beside me. A good woman.
Yeah, now Muskie was the first Polish ethnic to run for the executive office. Would have been if McGovern had won, he would have been the vice president. And of course, then they got Tom Eagleton, the senator, Catholic also, but he was from Missouri. And then it was discovered that first was Eagleton, and Eagleton dropped out because he had been under psychiatric care. And Nixon won that election, but Nixon was later facing impeachment, and Nixon resigned, and we got Gerald Ford. Among the other birthdays today, Dirk Bogarde, English actor, probably best known for the film Darling, where he played Philander with somebody else, with Julie Christie, who was his wife. Dirk Bogarde was great gay, but he's another one who kept it quiet. A lot of English actors were either bisexual or gay. And then we have this Polish Machiavelli politician, worked with Carter, Zbigniew Brzezinski, who was born on this day. Among the deaths today, the great Modest Mussorgsky. I think he studied law, great Russian composer. His operas are probably among the most popular, along with Rimsky-Korsakov and Tchaikovsky, and also his great gate, Pictures on an Exhibition, is one of the 50 famous pieces. And, of course, his great opera, Boris Godunov, probably the greatest. He died on this day. And an alcoholic problem. And then we had Rachmaninoff. Unfortunately, we'll have to play that later. His birthday, I think it's the first, he died on this day. And he had these bear-like hands, one of the greatest pianists ever to come out of Russia. He left after the Russian Revolution. Then we had Jim Thorpe, probably America's greatest athlete, Native American, born in Oklahoma. He played Dwight Eisenhower, one of the that West Point, played on the football team, which played against the Carlisle Institute, which was a school for Native American Indians, and Jim Thorpe was their star. And Jim Thorpe, famous movie with Burt Lancaster, who played Jim Thorpe. And Jim Thorpe, well, here's what Eisenhower says about Jim Thorpe. It's a short clip.
One of the cadets on the Army team was Dwight Eisenhower, future Supreme Allied Commander in World War II and President of the United States.
Our coaching told us that these people are tricky. They're very tricky players. And you people got to be on your mettle or you're going to be surprised. Now, we were surprised by this man's speed and the frequency with which he got the ball. Started the third quarter, and we saw him put the football on his foot and kick it out 60 yards for punt.
Jim Thorpe unfortunately played semi-professional baseball, and then he applied for the Olympics, and he won many of the events, but then they found out that he had played pro ball and he was disqualified because you're not supposed to, at that time, have played any professional sports, and he, as an Indian, he didn't know, and he was manipulated by his coach and the head of Carlisle Institute, and they conned him into writing the letter saying that he was a poor Indian and didn't know these things. He was unsophisticated, but nonetheless, the Olympic Committee had stripped him of all his medals, and it really broke the poor man. But Jim Thorpe is one of the greatest athletes ever come out of Oklahoma and also play Olympics and play in sports. Well, we have a birthday death today. We have, of course, Dwight Eisenhower died on this day. He didn't live that long. He lived till about 70-something. And then one of the greatest clowns of all time, Emmett Kelly. And then one of the greatest painters, Marc Chagall, died on this day. And also the great, the grand dame of the Trapp family, Maria Trapp, who was, they made the movie Sound of Music, Richard Rodgers, Russian-Jewish background, studied to be a doctor but didn't want to practice medicine, so he studied music, and he worked with Oscar Hammerstein, who wrote some of the great and enduring musicals in American musical theater. Maria Trapp was a postulant in a Catholic convent in Austria. She met the widower, Captain von Trapp, of the Austrian Navy. Believe it or not, Austria may have been landlocked, but they had a navy because they had access to the Aegean. And they got married, and she took over his kids and started this music school. And they escaped from after Auschwitz when Hitler annexed Austria. They fled to the United States, and she set up this school in Vermont. And one of the daughters recently died, the Maria Trapp, the Trapp family singers, as they were known. Now, right now, believe it or not, there's such a thing as corruption in San Francisco and California. And, you know, for years, the sanctimonious sorts in the media used to point to Tammany Hall, Carmine DiSapio, and these people in New York, and talking about the Kelly Daily corruption of the Democratic machine in Cook County. Well, now it's finally come out in California, and it's going to get worse, where we have an Asian ethnic who's also a child psychologist, Leland Yee, who I knew, an investigator when he was on the San Francisco School Board and when he was on the San Francisco Board of Supervisors, Alderman, as a county councilman. Anyway, he's accused in a 100-page federal indictment of money laundering, bribery, taking bribes, setting up gun deals with terrorists, and getting involved with a guy named Shrimp Boy, a former federal convict who claimed he was reformed. And, of course, when he claimed he was reformed, he got an award from Senator Dianne Feinstein. I wonder if she's going to ask him to give it back. But it's just the beginning of the gross corruption in California. For years, they've ignored it out here, even though people like myself, Raul Almison, attorney Raul Almison, Marguerite Warren, famous accountant, David Fowler, who was the editor of Denial of Disaster, which is a very appropriate term for what has been going on in the California media regarding the disaster and the corruption in California politics. It's going to get worse, and so brace yourself, and it will spread to other parts of the country. Another school board member, a black named Keith Jackson, his son, and he's named in his federal indictment, was claiming that they were shipping 300 pounds of marijuana to, I think, Tennessee. This was every week. You can imagine the amount of money on that. And also, they were involved in illegal arms trafficking and bribery and all the rest. It's what we used to call a RICO, racketeering. And, of course, all of these people were involved in the federal poverty programs. For instance, Leland Yee was on the San Francisco Board of Supervisors, where he voted to give federal community development block grant funds to city employees who set up these bogus 501c3 organizations from which they purchased profited, and also fellow supervisors who had their own little condo deals, condo gate, as David Fowler used to call it. And plus, with people like Tom Amiano, who came from New Jersey, who was reputedly the head of NAMBLA, the Man Boy Love International Organization of Pedophiles. He supported his agenda when Amiano was on the school board also, and also when Amiano was on the San Francisco Board of Supervisors, when federal poverty funds went to these lesbian terrorist groups. And the reason they're called terrorist groups because they used to come in court and when there were these cases where heterosexuals got into fights and conflicts with homosexuals, that they would come into court, especially in the Steve Mary case, and openly solicit the bureau, the jurors, and wear stickers, which we will put up on the web next week. there'll be more, and we're going to give the rest of the story because there are media people also involved who are involved in the cover-up of these scandals, corruption. And they, one of them got condos, another got an estimated $1 million from the HUD poverty program. And of course, their karma has caught up with them because some of them have come down with AIDS. One has come down with lupus, children, before he became gay, afflicted with autism. So we call it the Mary curse. Anyway, I'm losing my voice again. So we will play, we'll be back Monday at 3:30, and we will have documents from the FBI, from the U.S. Attorney, from our work over nearly 30 years in exposing public corruption here in Northern California, and which, of course, in April of 1996, after Ian Donald Turner, who was on the plane with Ron Brown, the Secretary of Commerce, when it crashed into the hillside in Croatia, HUD set up a national convention here in San Francisco to show people how it was handling, mishandling, we say, federal poverty program. The media did not cover it, but I went there, and quite interesting that San Francisco was the model on how to rip off federal poverty funds. Still going on because media people like the reporter for the legal newspaper, The Recorder, which was legal news reporting paper, he got a condo, and other people, media people, got deals. So it just goes to show you there are such a thing as corrupt media people as well as corrupt politicians and corrupt public employees. So we'll end with our usual politics and poker, and go to our Amicus Veritas YouTube site where we'll be putting up stuff this weekend. All right. So here is our ending for the week, politics and poker. So get it right here. Okay. And, of course, we will have more public, more audio interviews and news clips.
Say, Ben, want a hand?
No, you guys go ahead. I got too much on my mind to play poker.
King bets.
Cost you five. Tony, up to you.
Okay, Tony, what are you going to do?
I'm in.
So am I.
Likewise.
Me too. Gentlemen, here we are, and one thing is clear. We gotta pick a candidate for Congress this year.
Big Ace.
Ace bets.
You'll pay through the nose.
Okay, where's the sound?
I'm in.
So am I.
Likewise.
Info.
Possible straight, possible flush. Nothing.
Gentlemen, how about some names we can use? Some qualified Republican who's willing to lose.
How's about we should make Jack Riley the guy?
Which Riley are you thinking of, Jack B or Jack Y?
I say neither one. I never even met him.
I say when you got a pair of Jack, bet up.
Politics and poker, politics and poker, shuffle up the cards and find the joker. Neither game's for children, neither game is rough. Decisions, decisions, like
who to pick,
how to play, not to bet,
when to call a bluff.
All right now, fellas, politics or poker, which is more important?
Paraphrase.
Bet 'em.
Little trades, good as gold.
I'll say.
Raise your five.
I'll call.
I'll hold.
I'll raise your back.
I think you're bluffing.
Put your money where your mouth is.
Okay, I'm in.
Gentlemen, knock it off and let's get this done.
Try Michael Panyashinkovich. I'm certain he'd run.
Mike is out.
I'm afraid he just wouldn't sell. Nobody likes a candidate whose name they can't spell.
How about Dave Zimmerman?
Davey's too bright.
What about Walt Gustafson?
Walt died last night.
How about Frank Monahan?
What about George Gale?
Frank ain't a citizen, and George is in jail.
We could run out Wallenstein.
He's only 23.
What about Ed Peterson?
You idiot, that's me!
Politics and poker, politics and poker, playing for a pot that's mediocre. Politics and poker, rubbing neck and neck. If politics seems more predictable, that's because usually you can stack the deck. Politics and poker, politics and poker, makes the average guy a heavy smoker. There's an anomaly, and give him a regard, and watch while he learns that in poker and politics, brother, you gotta have that slippery, haphazardous commodity.
No, I forgot this, that this is also the beginning of the Crimean War in 1854-55. And, of course, Crimea is in the news and it's very relevant today. This is Peter Paul Vizzola. So go to our Amicus Veritas YouTube site, AMICUSRIT. Have a safe weekend. I'm just here. Good night.